provided by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, based on the most relevant posts on LinkedIn about artificial intelligence and CAW 3132. Frenis is a B2B market research company working with enterprises to optimize their campaigns with account and executive insights far beyond AI. Welcome to the deep dive, where we cut through the noise, you know, to bring you the most critical insights from just vast amounts of information. Today, we're diving into the top artificial intelligence trends. These are the ones really making waves across LinkedIn during calendar weeks 31 and 32. We'll be looking at how AI is truly shifting from abstract concepts to production-ready realities, focusing on those critical pillars: trust, orchestration, and, well, ultimately measurable ROI.
It's exciting, isn't it? Because this deep dive, it really highlights a decisive shift we're seeing, moving firmly beyond just like theoretical proof of concepts into practical deployed solutions, stuff that delivers tangible business value. We'll unpack some significant product launches, yeah, and critical security moves, and also a few early vertical wins that really demonstrate this growing maturity. It's all about understanding what's truly moving the needle in the AI space for businesses and, well, for you, our listener, right now.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Kicking things off, a really dominant theme emerging from these weeks on LinkedIn. It's this accelerating momentum around something called agentic AI. Now, it sounds incredibly futuristic, almost like sci-fi, right? But for businesses and professionals, especially in ICT and tech, what does agentic AI actually mean? How does it, you know, different?
That's a great question, because agentic AI is, well, it's more than just the latest buzzword. It really represents a fundamental leap. As Aaron Ruiz put it quite eloquently in his posts, the core idea of an AI agent. It's a system designed not just to process info, but to actually reason through complex problems.
Yeah.
And then create actionable plans to solve them, and then execute those plans using various tools. So think of it less like an advanced chatbot answer questions, and more like an autonomous assistant, one capable of advanced reasoning, retaining memory, and actually carrying out tasks. Start to finish.
Right. So it's about action,
yeah.
Autonomy, not just conversation. Chuck Gray highlighted this too with the SPARS framework situation, plan, act, reflect, which honestly sounds remarkably similar to how we humans approach goals, doesn't it?
It does.
And they're classifying these agents into levels now. Level 3, agentic workflows, seems to be the most common type actually deployed in real world production. This shift from thinking to doing, that's pretty significant, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And the key here is making these agents truly effective and reliable. Giovanni Verdi, for instance, she's been discussing combining retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, which basically lets AI pull in specific facts from, say, your own knowledge bases to make answers more accurate, more current. Combining that with agent designs creates something she calls agentic RAG. Now, this isn't just about retrieving information. It's about enabling the agent to reason with it, to perform intent recognition, dynamically plan what it needs, break down complex tasks, and even self-correct if things, you know, go off track. It's a powerful evolution.
That sounds incredibly powerful, almost mind-bending in its capabilities, but with great power often comes, well, a lot of hype, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Alec Coughlin and Nasu Skulakaridi both put out clear warnings about AI agent watching. They pointed to Gartner's pretty stark estimate that out of thousands of vendors claiming AI agents, only about 130 are, well, the real deal.
Wow, only 130.
Yeah. Nasaya even shared a personal story about being misled. So for you listening, how do you actually identify this agent washing? What are the red flags?
That's a crucial point. It really highlights the importance of critical thinking, you know, due diligence. When you hear AI agent, you need to dig deeper, much deeper than the label. Does it show genuine autonomous reasoning and execution? Or is it just a slightly fancier script? Look for proof of that SPARIAR framework. Can it assess a situation, articulate a plan, actually act on it, and then reflect to improve? And this need for oversight, for optimization, that's why, as Danny Moshkevich introduced, AgentOps is emerging. It's becoming a critical discipline. It's about proactively observing, analyzing, optimizing these intelligent systems before they drift. Because these agents can reason, they can adapt, and yeah, sometimes they drift in ways you didn't expect.
It's fascinating to hear about the practical side, the ecosystem emerging. Alex Vaca provided a really comprehensive list of tools driving this shift. Everything from no-code agent builders like NNNN and Relevance AI, which make it more accessible, all the way to custom enterprise frameworks for complex stuff like Microsoft Autogen and LangChain.
Yeah.
There's clearly a huge amount of infrastructure being built, almost like the picks and shovels for this new AI gold rush.
Absolutely. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, this rapid shift to production-ready AI, It inevitably brings trust, security, and governance right to the forefront. It has to. Consider this. Ali Alage and Joshua Spurgeon shared findings recently that AI and LLM-driven threats have actually surpassed ransomware as the top cybersecurity concern for 2025.
Surpassed ransomware. Wow.
Yeah, imagine that. 29% of security leaders are now citing AI as their primary worry. That's a stark reminder of the new attack surface we're dealing with. It's not just data breaches anymore. It's sophisticated, potentially autonomous threats, things that can mimic human behavior or escalate attacks in totally new ways.
That's a massive shift in the threat landscape. Huge. It means security can't be an afterthought anymore, can it? It has to be baked in right from the start.
Exactly.
Rich Friedberg shared insights from a new AI security guide, offering essential guardrails for secure, scalable, agentic AI adoption. It emphasizes a four-phase maturity model for organizations. And Chris H. pointed out that, well, far too many conversations around agentic AI adoption have kind of overlooked these crucial security and governance bits until now. It's like trying to build a new engine while the car's already speeding down the highway, isn't it?
Precisely. A perfect analogy. And this isn't just about technical security either. The legal and compliance landscape is evolving at, well, an incredible pace. Rebecca Weiss discussed the landmark EU AI Act commentary that's vital for clarifying definitions, establishing a clear risk-based regime. And Dr. Theo Antunes highlighted that Chapter 7 of the Act. It's now empowering authorities to actually enforce these rules, giving them real teeth.
Okay, so it sounds like Europe is definitely leading the charge on regulation. Which seems good for trust, responsible deployment, but what does that mean for investment, for innovation, especially for businesses?
That's the million-dollar question.
Edmund Heuschen shared some interesting data. 68% of European businesses find the EU AI Act challenging to interpret. And this uncertainty, it's led to a 28% decline in their AI investment plans.
That's a significant drop.
It is. But it's not all doom and gloom. AWS is actively addressing this. They've got ISO IEC 42001 certification for their AI services now and new AI service cards, both designed specifically to help with compliance.
Which raises that important question about balancing innovation with regulation, doesn't it? Barbara Holzer noted this in her analysis. How do you foster groundbreaking AI development while also ensuring a robust, ethical, secure framework? It's a real tightrope walk. Meanwhile, you see companies like IBM integrating their WatsonX governance platform with Guardium AI Security. Robin Gobert pointed this out. The aim is to secure and monitor AI at scale, automate compliance with global frameworks, basically make that complex task more manageable.
And when we talk about enterprise trust, transparency is just paramount, isn't
it? Absolutely critical.
Waleed Mahana strongly emphasized that observability in Gen AI isn't just like a nice to have. It's crucial. Companies like Langfuse are stepping up here, providing LLM ops platforms its large language model operations. These track prompts, responses, costs, latency, all in real time, effectively transforming these often opaque black box AI models into auditable assets. This sounds like an absolute prerequisite for wide-scale adoption, especially in regulated industries. You'd agree?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Without that level of transparency, that auditability, widespread enterprise adoption just isn't going to happen. Not for critical applications anyway.
Right. So moving beyond the tech and the regulations, what's the real business value here? It's easy to get caught up in the hype, but Michael Grinker recently urged leaders to, well, cut through that noise, align AI initiatives with truly measurable business outcomes. Because, as Jack Lemke controversially put it, he believes most businesses are currently gaining nothing from the AI race.
Ouch.
Yeah. With only specific outliers like advertising and movies seeing big benefits. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it?
It is bold. And look, while some early adoption has definitely been more about experimentation, maybe not showing immediate massive returns, the data from Eric Jonvier paints a different, more optimistic picture for the overall market. His analysis showed AI funding hit a record $95 billion in 2024. And crucially, 68% of organizations are reporting 2 to 5 times returns on their AI investments.
2 to 5 times.
Yeah. With an average payback period of just 16 months, this data points to a clear, definitive shift towards ROI-driven funding in 2025. It suggests that while some might not be seeing returns yet, a significant chunk of the market is, and that's going to drive future decisions.
That's a powerful signal. real-world value starting to materialize. And it's not just the big tech players or direct enterprise use. Franz Remmersma discussed how AI is enabling smaller agencies to scale their specialized expertise into AI-powered apps, potentially transforming, low-margin service businesses into high-margin productized offerings. That's a fascinating model.
It really is. And what's also fascinating are the broader economic implications. Mirzad Karami broke down what he calls the hidden price tags of personal AI, linking its value directly to global energy consumption and capital intensity. It's a big connection. When you think about the billions invested by giants like Microsoft, Google to build the infrastructure, your monthly AI subscription, it's actually kind of a copay on a trillion-dollar global race.
Wow. That really puts the scale of this transformation into perspective, doesn't it? A copay on a trillion-dollar race.
Yeah.
And in terms of actual adoption, Giovanna Melillo highlighted a critical point. 56% of large companies in Europe haven't yet scaled truly transformative AI investments. Despite Europe having all the fundamental ingredients, the talent, the infrastructure to lead,
right.
This presents a huge opportunity for growth, obviously, but it's also a risk, as Mark Bereschütter noted. If Europe focuses too much on compliance, on regulation, over the sheer speed of innovation and deployment.
It's that delicate balance again, isn't it?
Yeah.
The race is global. Speed definitely matters.
Okay, let's shift gears slightly. We've talked broad trends, but where are we seeing AI making a concrete, tangible difference, like in specific industries right now?
Good question.
Yuzeri Hussein shared how agentic AI, specifically, is set to revolutionize banking. Imagine unified conversational interfaces providing proactive, personalized engagement, moving way beyond those fragmented legacy systems. It really promises to transform how customers interact with their banks.
Which brings up that important question many are asking. Is it replacement or augmentation? What happens to the people? Patrick Dennis's analysis on contact centers, it suggests AI isn't simply replacing human labor there, it's remixing it.
Remixing it. Interesting term.
Yeah. The contact center market is actually expected to expand significantly from $330 billion to maybe $580 billion by 2030, with roles evolving into what he calls tandem care. That's people and AI working together,
okay,
delivering a better customer experience. So it's not just about taking jobs, but changing how jobs are done, elevating the human interaction part.
That's a critical distinction and, frankly, a more optimistic outlook. Michelle Fisher also noted that while AI clearly enhances customer experience in retail, it's still wrestling with significant integration and orchestration challenges behind the scenes. Often, AI is used in, isolated pockets rather than becoming the seamless operating system for the whole business. There's still a journey there.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's fascinating is how generative AI is being applied for very tangible safety and efficiency gains. Sri Elaprolu highlighted the work between Ryanair and AWS.
Ryanair, yeah.
Yeah. They're using Gen AI to build robust risk management and trusted AI controls directly into a cabin crew application. This improves risk visibility, automates assessments, and ultimately helps ensure safer, more efficient operations. It's a great example of AI solving real-world, high-stakes problems.
And we're seeing new models emerge specifically for these enterprise applications too, right?
Yeah.
Not just general-purpose ones.
Yeah.
Lewis Walker shared how McKinsey's new AI agent, Ollie, is already automating customer interactions for a major European utility.
Ollie, okay.
Yeah. Apparently, Ollie is handling 5 to 10 times the call volume, automating 30% of calls end-to-end, and delivering a measurable 6 percentage point increase in customer satisfaction.
Wow.
That's real demonstrable ROI happening right now.
That's impressive. Now, moving to the developers, the people actually building these systems. Jim Rowan's insights from Deloitte Research indicate that while Gen AI is definitely accelerating software delivery, no question there, it's also raising some serious concerns.
Yeah.
Things like code reliability and transparency. This is a crucial area needing attention.
Okay, and here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because it touches on the future of work itself. Ricardo Oriol's discussion on superhuman coders by 2027. Sounds incredible, almost unbelievable.
Superhuman coders.
Right. But he stressed, really stressed, that responsible AI must be a design choice from the outset, not just some compliance checklist you tack on at the end. And he raises that pivotal question for our industry. Who takes the blame when something goes wrong?
Mm-hmm.
As AI gets more autonomous, that question of accountability, it's becoming absolutely central.
And that question of accountability naturally leads right into concerns about security and quality, doesn't it? Peter Denyeau highlighted that while AI tools dramatically boost developer productivity, secure coding skills are more crucial than ever. You can't just rely on the tool. An unskilled use of these powerful AI tools can inadvertently introduce significant security risks. create new vulnerabilities. It's a reminder that human expertise, that judgment, it remains vital, even with AI augmentation.
And the legal implications around AI are evolving incredibly fast, too, sometimes in unexpected ways. Suk Sandu shared Denmark's groundbreaking move. They're granting individuals legal ownership over their own face, voice, and likeness, specifically against AI misuse and deepfakes.
Wow, actual legal ownership.
Yeah, it's a significant step. Sets a real precedent for digital rights, personal sovereignty in this age of AI.
And if we connect that to the bigger picture, copyright law is definitely a central arena where these legal battles are playing out. Werner Van Straten discussed companies like Moon Valley. They're developing video generation models specifically trained on public domain films, trying to offer an ethical alternative, you know, to address some of the copyright headaches plaguing other models.
Makes sense.
And on a global scale, Andrew Attaki noted that while Google's Transformer patent often dominates the discussion here, it's actually Tencent that leads global AI patent counts, particularly in China-only filings, which really speaks to the shifting landscape of innovation and IP.
What a deep dive. Seriously, we've covered a lot of ground. From that fundamental shift to agentic AI and its practical uses, to the absolutely critical need for robust security governance frameworks, the real-world ROI that's starting to emerge, and of course, the rapidly evolving legal landscape shaping it all. The transition from AI as just a concept to AI as a production reality, it's clearly underway, demanding both incredible innovation and a strong sense of responsibility.
Indeed. And the future of AI, as we've seen today, it looks increasingly like a human on the loop model, where our role shifts, you know, from direct execution maybe to oversight, strategic direction, critical evaluation. As these AI agents perform and optimize tasks, the journey is really just beginning. And it's about shaping this powerful tech to truly enhance human capabilities, human flourishing in this digital age.
Absolutely. Well, if you enjoyed this deep dive, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, be sure to check out our other editions where we deep dive into ICT and tech, digital products and services, cloud and sustainability, and green ICT. Thank you so much for joining us. And we encourage you to think, what could your first AI agent do for you?